We gather in the Lord's house this morning to draw closer to Him. Let our hearts and minds prepare to encounter our Lord this day. Good morning. It's good to gather the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning as we are in the season of Lent here at First Baptist. May the praise that we lift to our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit today be pleasing in His sight. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us. You can fill out a visitor's card and just drop it off at the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching online this morning on Facebook Live, we were having a little bit of technology difficulties just a few minutes ago, but thankful that we have got online today. So if you're watching on Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for this worship hour, for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If this is the first time you're watching online this morning, we're glad that you found us. I encourage you to send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what our family here at First Baptist is all about. I do want to remind our church family that this afternoon at 4 p.m. will be our third session in our Lenten Bible study, The Last Supper, by Will Willimon. We've had a wonderful two sessions, and we look forward to gathering this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. You also can watch that Bible study on Facebook Live as well, but I encourage you, if you have the opportunity, come in person for that study, because the discussion is so much better in person than it is virtually. So that's at 4 o'clock. Our children's ministry will be meeting at 5 o'clock today as well. And looking ahead to this week, I do want to remind you that choir rehearsal will be 6:30 p.m. this week. And I encourage you to look at our newsletter, our March newsletter, that that gives you more details about other things coming up in this month and even into the month of April. Gay wanted me to remind everybody that if you're planning to come to the Senior Adult Luncheon on Tuesday, March 17th, she needs you to sign up by today because they have to purchase the food and have that ready to go. So if you have not signed up and you are planning on going, please sign up in the foyer or in one of the Sunday school classrooms. Or if you know somebody who is coming or might be coming, contact them today. Try to find out a definite so we can get that number in. But please let us know as soon as possible, no later than tomorrow, to sign up for that luncheon. I do also remind you that we're collecting the items for our ministry at the Golden Year Senior Center. We look forward to going over there and playing bingo and celebrating birthdays, doing other things there at Golden Years. The items listed in your bulletin and in your newsletter, the things that we're in need of as we continue that ministry. So please take the opportunity to pick a couple of those items up and drop them off in the Communication Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. Finally, I do want to remind our ministry teams that we will have our next church council meeting will be next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So if you are a ministry team leader, please prepare to be here for that 4 o'clock meeting. If you cannot be there, that 5 o'clock meeting. I apologize. No, it's at 4 o'clock. But if you can't be there, please talk to one of your ministry team members and have them represent you at church council next Sunday. Now, as we gather in his house this day, may we sing praises to him, our Lord and our King.
Let's stand and worship together this morning and sing his praises.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace.
This morning, our opening scripture reading is Psalm 95. Listen to these words this morning. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day in Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they may have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We can find refuge in our God this day. From all the struggles and intentions in the world today, we can find refuge in him, not just at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, but every single day when we turn to him. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy, creating, creative God, we sing from the depths of our sorrow. We sing from the abundance of our joy. We sing in voices separate and unique. We sing with one voice as your body. May the words of our mouths, whether in speech or song, and the meditations of our heart, whether in prose or poetry, be pleasing in your sight. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. Let's stand and worship together.
Yeah.
this morning for our ministry highlight. I just wanted to share with you an update on our roof, paying off our roof, and just kind of share where we stand and a goal that we're going to set. As of last Sunday, as you'll see on the worship screen today, we have raised over $59,000 toward our goal of $62,770. If you do the math, we are just short of 95% of our goal. Just minuscule numbers below 95%. And so in conversation with John Farnham, our stewardship chair this week and today, we're going to try to set a goal. When we're this close, sometimes like, oh, well, we'll get there. And I think as a congregation, we can get there with a goal. So on June 1st, 2026, that's 3 months, essentially 3 months from today, we want to have our refund paid off. Okay, we owe $3,631.28. That's all that is left to pay off the debt we have with ourselves. So I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider helping us pay this off, helping us cross the finish line, as we might say. Paul talks about running the race, and this is a race to pay this off. So June 1st is our goal to pay off our roof fund, and as we get closer and closer, I will let you know that I ask that you prayerfully consider supporting this challenge, supporting this financial ministry here at First Baptist Elon as we turn our direction towards other things coming up in the near future. Now this morning I'll call Deacon Susan Reinheimer for our offertory prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for another week to be together to worship you as we look forward to spring season and the time of renewal that brings it to the earth. Let us focus on our renewal of our commitment to you and showing your love to each person we come into contact with each day. Our world is in a constant state of change, and sometimes it's confusing to understand what one thinks is right, another thinks is wrong. What one thinks is evil, another thinks is good. But help us to remember to lean on you and know that you can work through all things for your good. Today, we lift up our United States military and ask for your hand of protection on each member. We also pray for the families who have lost a loved one in this conflict. Give them strength and peace. We continually pray for your guidance to all of our government leaders. May they all seek your will as they fulfill their duties. For those on our prayer list, we ask for healing and strength. We ask you to fill each of their needs as you know best. Now please take our offerings and help us to use them in the best way to bless you. Tell them about Jesus and bring glory to you. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Lay down your
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. There's joy for the morning, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. It's a powerful song. If you listen to the lyrics of it, and it talks about just, it doesn't matter who we are and what we're going through or what we've done. God is waiting on us. He's there. Come as you are. Don't have to put on a face. You don't have to put on anything else. Just come as you are, because He sees us, He desires us, He wants us. Powerful, powerful song. I encourage you, if you have a chance, to go back and listen to the worship service later on. Just listen to the lyrics. Listen to the words of that song. Would you pray with me this morning before we go to encounter God's word once again this day? As the deer pants for your water, so we need you, O God. However, we do not always turn towards you as we need. Instead of seeking you, we turn to often cheap and easy solutions. Please show us that you alone can satisfy us as we silently confess our sins to you this day. Father, may we always remember that you welcome all who come to you in weakness or strength, with much or with little. We seek you, Lord, while you can be found. We call on you while you are near. We wait with confidence, knowing that your Son, Jesus the Christ, will look upon us with compassion. Through him, we have forgiveness and the abundance of God's life. We lift this prayer, Father, on this day to you. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship service here at First Baptist Elon this March Sunday morning. I pray that the Lord has already spoken to you during our worship hour this day, and I pray that his word and my words today will continue to do the same. This morning, I will be continuing the Lenten sermon series we began a couple weeks ago, The Paradox of Lent, Embracing Joy and Grief. The last couple Sundays, we've been examining this paradox between the great joy that we have as believers, knowing that Jesus Christ conquered the grave and offers us salvation through him, while at the same time, we grieve the fact that sin is still present in the world. Sin is present in us, and it still separates us from this divine, eternal relationship. So each Sunday, what we've been doing is looking at one action that we can focus on as believers to draw us closer to him. We've already identified the actions of calling on the name of the Lord and hoping in the promise of God. This morning, we turn to the prophet Isaiah and his words and his call to action to seek God while he may be found. Our focal action this morning speaks to our hunger and thirst that our soul has. One pastor describes this yearning that we have for God in this way. The soul can manifest physical symptoms of need. Let's think about it this way. Just like our stomachs growl when we get hungry for physical food, our spirit tends to growl when we are in need of spiritual food. The pastor went on to say, it's like when I go to the grocery store and the checker at the grocery store seems overly irritable or overly grouchy, I sometimes grin and think to myself, I bet her children woke her up before she could have her quiet time. I can certainly assure you that my personality is distinctly different when I have not had the time that I need with my Lord. Do you agree? When you miss that time with God, does your spirit growl? We all growl. Maybe you're growling today. And you might say to me, well, David, you work in a church. How can you miss out on spending quality time with God? It's amazing how sometimes church ministry and responsibilities take our view and our focus than what it's supposed to be on, which is him. So how about you? Does your hungry soul ever manifest physical symptoms such as irritability, selfish ambitions, anger, impure thoughts, envy, and even resentments? So here's a simple analogy that might help us achieve what our active goal is for this morning. When our soul is thirsty for the living water, just as my mouth gets dry when I am thirsty, my spiritual mouth gets dry when I need the satisfying refreshment only God can bring. Nothing can take that away. So let's look this morning at the prophet Isaiah. And as he sees this hunger and thirsting of the soul for a nation and in himself as we seek him while he may be found. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the prophet Isaiah chapter 55. This morning, I'll be reading verses 1 through 9 this day. And as you turn to this passage, I'll share to you that Isaiah is not the only Old Testament prophet that speaks about this hunger and this thirst for God. We actually talked a little bit about this in our January sermon series on the prophets. I would encourage you to spend a little bit of time in the prophets this week. If you have an opportunity, turn to one of the prophets. Oftentimes their books are not very long. Of course, Isaiah and Jeremiah are, but turn to one of these other prophets and spend some time with them. Often they get overlooked. They get lost in what we see the context of the day. But the message still speaks to us. So what does Isaiah have to say in Isaiah 55, 1 through 9? Listen to these words. The words will be on the screen behind me. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the God, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Even after we have sinned, God offers restoration freely. There's no cost. Israel had fallen into sin, but God calls them back to the living water in Isaiah 55. He is always available for those seeking him. Even in the sting of punishment or trials, God offers a way towards himself, the source of true life. All we have to do is turn and seek him. In the space between justification and glorification, we are constantly returning to seek him who we have found, because he found us. Let's look through the ancient or the historical lens this morning. If you look through lectionary passages any year, when you look at this season that we're in the season of Lent, you will see heavy scripture drawn from the Old Testament prophets. And one might say, well, why is that? Is that just something we're supposed to focus on during this time? No, there's one specific reason why during this season of Lent the prophets are often turned to. It's because the prophets are not afraid to confront human depravity, also known as that grief of sin. They don't hide from it. They focus on it directly. If you look at the Ash Wednesday passage that was read a couple weeks ago, and hopefully you read it at home, it was coming from Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, we see the covenant that God established with his people, the one we talked a couple weeks ago with Abram, the one we talk about Moses that we know about, probably most well-known, and the one with David. We see that those covenants have been breached, and the consequential day of the Lord will follow. Judgment Day is coming. And like Joel, the prophet Isaiah is not timid about calling a spade a spade. God's people broke the covenant, and there are consequences coming. Isaiah is speaking to a people who had been battered by centuries of upheaval, whether it was facing Assyrian threats or Babylonian exiles or Persian restorations. The people of Judah wrestled with deep theological questions. Have we strayed too far from our God? Is there any hope for us now? The people's collective psyche is one of disorientation. They didn't know where they stood in their relationship to God. And having experienced God's displeasure through repeated punishment over and over and over again, they are left questioning, what does our relationship with God look like now? Have you ever asked that question? What does my relationship with God look like right now? Chapter 55 follows Isaiah's introduction of the suffering servant of the Lord, who, for his part, will restore and rectify the covenant breach. The servant will make right what the people made wrong. The messianic overtones are not subtle here at all. In our text today, Isaiah puts forth God's promise in verse 3, to make an eternal covenant with his people out of his steadfast love for David. There is hope for the people. Thirsty and hungry people are invited to a feast which they neither deserve nor for which they can pay. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy? The nation of Israel, Judah, is implored to listen to God and eat the good things that he offers, to delight their souls in the food that he presents. Scholar John Oswalt describes this section of scripture in Isaiah as this: it is a celebration of the work of the servant, calling Israel to receive what is now hers to have. One of the major themes that we see in this Isaiah passage, as if found in other Lenten passages throughout the years, is a call to repentance. Isaiah 55:6, though on a first read, seems to indicate that this call to repent and this call to return to him is for a limited time only. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Is this scripture passage saying that God's not going to be available at some point? Is this saying that God is distancing himself from us? And the answer is no. That's not what is being described here. On a closer inspection, it is clear that God wants to be found. It's not like an Easter egg hunt where you're out running around trying to find that golden egg that everybody's looking for and nobody can find it. That's not what God wants. God wants to be found. He's out there in that same field, waving his hands up and saying, "It's right here. I'm right here." God is not a rock star coming out of retirement for a special show. This is not a fleeting offer from a distant deity, but instead a heartfelt invitation from God who longs to comfort the despairing, to forgive the sinner, and deliver the bound. Isaiah 55 is not transactional. While it is a great deal for people who do not deserve one, it is not about the stuff that the people get for free. It is about a relationship with God that he wants to renew with his people. This passage is about intimacy. It's not about items. God provides a lot of good things for us, items that people need, home, security, provision, etc. But what he wants more than anything is to be their God and to be there for them because we are his people. Verse 7, it says this: let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what does this Isaiah passage look like as we look through the Jesus lens? Isaiah's invitation to feast is echoed centuries later in the ministry of Jesus Christ, who similarly challenges the transactional mindset of those seeking physical bread instead of spiritual sustenance. If you remember the story, we all do, in John chapter 6, Jesus offers bread without price to a crowd that gathered around him. He satisfies their physical hunger with food for which they did not work for. After this miracle meal, we don't see the people going home and saying, "Oh, that was a great day." No, they actually follow him. Jesus escapes and goes across the lake, and the people follow him to where he is. They find him, and Jesus apparently knows what they want. They want more bread. They want more bread. They want him to stay, say another prayer, and make loaves and fishes out of just a few. They want him to do it all over again. They seek a transaction with Jesus. And Jesus is trying to show them it's not about a transaction. He has a product that they like, and they would like to negotiate with him on how to get some more. But this is Jesus' response to that crowd: do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Like Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus offers intimacy, not items, relationship, not rations. He offers himself. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus says to them once again, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now Israel can truly receive what is there, what is hers to have. The servant of the Lord is their feast, the answer to their hunger and their thirst. So we've looked at the ancient or the historical lens. We've looked through Jesus' lens at what is being said here. But what does that speak for us today in 2026? As we look at the modern lens in closing this morning, the timeless call to intimacy with God resonates today as much as it did back in Isaiah's day, as much as it did in Jesus' day. Are you weary of striving without satisfaction? Do you long for just something more? In a world that demands constant striving, Isaiah reminds us in this passage to pause, to listen, and to accept God's invitation to a grace-filled feast. Sometimes that's the hardest. Sometimes it's the hardest to just pause. Pause and be in his presence. We think I've got to do something. I have to do two or three or four things to achieve that. No. All we have to do is to stop, to pause, because he is here. For many of us, love feels conditional. However, God's love is freely given. I can reassure you that God's love does not rise and fall with the tides of our successes and failures. He knows that we already have and will continue to miss the mark, but he loves us anyway. He expresses that love in both his correction and his comfort. But he never dangles his love out in front of us as a motivation for us to work harder or be better. Because that's not what's required. It's just pausing and being in the presence of God. He's invited each and every one of us to a feast. Not because we earned it or deserved it, but because he is our good Father. As James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So I ask you this morning, I ask you on this third Sunday in the season of Lent, are you seeking him this day? He's not hiding. Our God never hides. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to embrace him, because he is right here. He's right now. And he's here for you always. So the question is, are you ready to pause? And when you pause, it's amazing how you find him. Let's pray. Father, in a world that says we have to be on the go, constantly striving to be better, striving for successes and overcoming failures, our God just says to pause and to seek him. And it's the easiest seeking job that has ever been given, because he's already here. He's right here for each and every one of us. Father, I pray that those who are seeking him this day will find you, and they'll hear your voice. I pray for those who've been seeking for a while or who've been lost and seeking in different directions, that we don't have to achieve it. We don't have to earn it. We just have to embrace it. Father, thank you for the words of the prophet so many years ago. Thank you for the life of love and seeking found in Jesus Christ. And thank you for making it present today in 2026. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, as we sing our closing hymn this morning, I encourage you to, in this moment, and even in moments this afternoon, to pause. To pause. Pause and be in his presence. Maybe today, during our worship hour, maybe you've recognized that he's speaking to you. You pause for just a few minutes and you hear his voice. Maybe he's calling you for the very first time that you hear. Come down front. Let me embrace you and share what that voice sounds like on a constant basis. Or maybe you're seeking a church body. It's not about doing. It's about being presence in him. And through that presence, we make a difference in this world. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you've got the world's chaos in your mind. And it's telling you, I've got to do. I've got to get here. I have to make sure I accomplish that. Maybe today, find that moment to pause and be present. And when you pause, you're seeking him. He's here today. Speak to him today, whether in the pew, at the altar, or with me this morning. Whatever decision you need to make, make it today. Let's stand and sing this morning. As we go out into a world that requires you and challenges you to do, just pause. Be in his presence because he's right there with you. The world needs to hear that. You need to follow it. I need to embrace it. As you leave this place today, go and know he is right there. Let's go in peace.